Imagine you're sitting in a sanctuary and a man on stage, someone you believe hears directly from God. He points at you. He tells you your secret thoughts. He tells you your bank balance or your future. What would happen? You'd be hooked. You'd be all in. But then years later, imagine that you find out that he wasn't hearing from God. He was actually looking at your Facebook profile in the green room. Or worse, you found out that while he was preaching purity, he was actually abusing the vulnerable behind closed doors. Well, if this sounds familiar, maybe you've been listening to some of the stuff that's been coming out about the prophetic movement in Christianity. For those of you who don't know what that means, the prophetic movement is a movement among charismatic Pentecostal circles where they believe in prophecy and there are quote unquote prophets in the movement. And now that there's social media and YouTube and podcasts, these guys have a lot of reach. They don't just write books anymore, but now they have these huge followings online. These guys in the movement are called prophets. And again, if you're coming out of Mormonism, you might be a little bit confused about what that means. What do you mean prophet? Well, we're going to get into all of that in today's episode, because recently this quote unquote prophetic movement, so like IHOP, if you've heard of that, not the pancakes, International House of Prayer, or Bethel Church, which is super famous because their music, their worship music, which is amazing, by the way, but it pains me to say that their church ministry up in Redding, California, is in the middle of all these scandals in the prophetic movement. High-profile Bible teachers like Mike Winger, he has the podcast and the YouTube channel called Bible Thinker. He's really good, by the way. I highly encourage you to check out his stuff. But he's been spending a lot of time in the last couple of months sort of pulling back the curtain on some of the abuses in the prophetic movement. And I'll be honest, I've been listening to some of these podcast episodes. I've been watching some of these videos. It kind of makes me sick to my stomach. I think Mike Winger feels the same way. I think it's terrible that he has to do this. I would rather he just preach the Bible and teach the Bible. I think he would rather do that as well. But because so many people in Christianity are being sucked in by the lies and manipulation of the prophetic movement, he's been spending some time sort of exposing all this and pulling back the curtain. And as I've been listening to this, as I've been kind of on my own time, aside from the Unveiling Mormonism podcast, I've been kind of taking some of this stuff in, I just can't help but connect the dots between the prophetic movement in modern day Christianity to the prophetic movement, you know, 150 years ago with Joseph Smith. I mean, probably a little bit less so today in Mormonism, but certainly the beginnings of Mormonism. These two things seem so similar to me. There's so much overlap between these two movements. And in particular, today I want to talk about cover-up culture and why it grows. Why it grew 150 years ago with Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, and why it's growing like that today, still in modern day Christianity, because really it's kind of the same thing. Joseph Smith and Brigham Young preyed on Christians for the most part 150 years ago to populate their Mormon churches back then, and they used the whole idea of prophecy. They said, hey, I'm a prophet from God. I'm speaking for God to you. And Christians fell for it. And I see the same thing happening today in the charismatic prophetic movement, in movements like IHOP and Bethel. And so I think that this episode is, I've got a couple of targets in mind. Number one, I want the Mormons listening to this, or maybe former Mormons, people coming out of Mormonism. I want you to hear this. I want to help you to connect the dots with kind of what happened back then. I want you to know that this isn't just a Mormon thing. This is a human thing. I think human beings are very susceptible to falling for outrageous claims, to falling for religious quote unquote truth that's not true at all. It's really just gaslighting. It happened 150 years ago. It still happens today. So for the listeners out there who have come out of Mormonism, I want you to hear what's going on in Christianity, because I want you to be wise to this, and I would hate for you to fall for another prophetic movement that is actually just a fraud. But my other target audience is really all the Christian listeners out there who maybe you understand that Mormonism isn't biblical Christianity, but maybe you're kind of dipping your toe in the water a little bit with some of this prophetic movement stuff. I think it's just really good for all of us to open up our Bibles and allow it to speak this timeless truth to all of us so we don't fall for the lies that are wrapped in spiritual language. So let's look at the current headlines just to get started. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, maybe you're not kind of up on this kind of information. I'll put links below, by the way, to Mike Winger's stuff. But he recently exposed this prophetic movement, and he talked about leaders like Sean Bowles or Mike Bickle from IHOP. These are guys who claim, now think about this, they claim to have a direct line to God. They speak at these massive church meetings and conferences. And what they'll do, and I'm not going to get into all the great details, but what they'll do is they'll come in there and they'll say, you know, there's somebody in here who's, you know, connected to a woman named Charity, and are you engaged or something? And yes, I'm engaged. And so they'll pull these people up, and they'll, in front of the whole crowd, they'll basically, like, it looks like they're predicting stuff. It looks like that they're, you know, bringing in like addresses and names of friends or dog pets names. And it's just crazy, all this kind of stuff. And so all this whole crowd then is just like, wow, this is amazing. This is God speaking, and God's communicating this. And this guy's a legit prophet, and this is awesome. And so they get all these people following them and buying this stuff. And then recently what's been uncovered is that actually all they're doing is they're mining data on Facebook and on Google. In some cases, they're actually working ahead of time. They know who's going to be in the audience, and they're doing all this data mining on them, research, thanks to social media and things like that, so that they've got this information that they can then utilize later on and make it look like they're speaking for God. Now, that's bad enough, right? I mean, that's terrible. That's horrible. But it gets even worse, because I guess what's happened with some of these guys, and I'm not going to get into the details, it actually kind of makes my stomach turn even to think about it. Winger gets into it in some of his podcasts and some of his videos. But apparently, like, some of these guys, like Sean Bowles, who is this quote-unquote prophet, he's actually allegedly kind of like crossed the line sexually with some of these people. Again, I'm not getting into all the details. If you're interested, go ahead and check out those other episodes. I think the bigger thing is kind of to stay up at 50,000 feet and just say, behind closed doors, he's done stuff that's really bad as well. And again, this is when I'm listening to this kind of stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is history repeating itself. It's the same thing that Joseph Smith was doing 150 years ago. We're talking about guys who come out there with this great mantle. They call themselves prophets. So they get all of these followers, and then they start not just abusing people spiritually, but in many cases, they go beyond that and actually start abusing people in other ways as well. So let's talk about that with Joseph Smith for a minute. Let's talk about the cover-up culture in Mormonism. You know, for 150 years, the narrative in the Mormon church was simple. Joseph Smith was a monogamous martyr. He was a prophet of God. He spoke for God. Now, you know, I think the higher ups understood all the stuff and all the wives he had, but for over 100 years, the Mormon church covered that up. They suppressed that narrative. They told their own Mormon members, and some of you listening know what I'm talking about, they denied it for decades. Now, if you know Smith's story, actually back in 1844, the Nauvoo Expositor, the newspaper in Nauvoo, Illinois, they actually tried to publish these truths in 1844. Joseph didn't repent. He didn't say, let's think about this. Wait. He actually, Joseph Smith, ordered the printing press destroyed. He used his power. He was kind of like not just a prophet, but he was actually the mayor of Nauvoo at the time as well. He used it to silence the light. And again, this is when I'm listening to some of this stuff about modern, the modern prophecy, the modern cover-up culture, there's just so much that's paralleling in this thing. So back then, Joseph Smith created this Mormon veneer. So he tried to cover all this stuff up. Of course, he ends up dying because of it, the famous shootout and all that kind of stuff. But here's what's crazy about it. For decades, the Mormon Church continued to cover up the truth about it until I think it was 2013. That's how recent the Mormon Church finally, because of the internet and because just it was getting too hard to control the narrative. So finally, the Mormon Church released what they called the Gospel Topics Essays. You can still find those. They're, by the way, they're harder to find now than they used to be because they kind of backfired on the Mormon Church. But just Google it, Gospel Topics Essays. It'll bring you straight to the Mormon website. This is official Mormon apologists writing these essays, trying to come out with the truth, but hedge it a little bit and explain it, put their kind of Mormon explanation to it to try to make it look better. In fact, we did a series of podcast episodes on this. I encourage you to check those out a couple of years ago if you want a deep dive on this, where I get into this with Bo, the co-host at the time, who was, he had come out of Mormonism, but he was a seminary teacher in the Mormon Church. And when he first read these gospel topic essays in an attempt to prepare to explain to his students this, explain away this stuff, he read this stuff and he realized that he was part of a cover-up culture church. And so that was kind of the beginning of the end for him. Anyway, you can learn more about that in his story, but also you can take a deep dive on some of those episodes that we've already released on the gospel topics essays. The point for now is just to say this. This was the Mormon Church's attempt at addressing this century-long cover-up culture in their church, and they released these essays, and all of a sudden, all these Mormons are reading it and realizing, oh my gosh, it's been true all along. In those essays, you'll learn that Joseph Smith did indeed have between 30 and 40 wives, women to whom he was sealed, some as young as 14 years old. Others were already married to other men. Now just think about it. This is what the Nauvoo expositor was going to expose, and that the Mormons have kept hidden all these years ever since 1844. And finally they come out and admit it. And by the way, Joseph didn't just practice this. He also denied it publicly while practicing it privately. He lied to his wife, Emma, about these sealings. He wrote about it in Mormon scripture, right? He used this prophetic mantle to speak for God to his wife, Emma, to keep her in line. It's actually sickening to look at how a whole group of followers, all these Mormons at the time. Now, some of them recognized it and left Mormonism way back then in the 1800s, but so many just still blindly followed Joseph Smith. And it's just such a reminder of how some of these prophets today are doing the same thing to Christians today, just like Joseph Smith did it to Christians back in the mid-1800s. And so you might be wondering, okay, what is the actual connective tissue here? How do these two movements, one from 150 years ago, claiming to be a restoration, right? A whole different cult group that ends up getting started, Mormonism. How is that connected to this charismatic movement? Because by the way, charismatics, Pentecostals, they're followers of Jesus. They believe the Bible. This isn't a cult. I want to make sure everybody understands this. Now, maybe a lot of our listeners, you're not Pentecostal or you're not charismatic and you feel like some of that's cult-like. That's for another topic. You can go check out some resources at pursuegod.org on speaking in tongues and why that's biblical and all this kind of stuff. So anyway, that's kind of a whole side issue. So I don't think you should throw the baby out with the bathwater. And by the way, Mike Winger is a charismatic believer, as am I. So Mike Winger is not saying, look, the charismatic movement is wrong or the Pentecostal church is wrong, or he's not saying it's a cult. What he's saying is the problem is the connective tissue really here between Mormonism in the 1800s and the prophetic movement, which is more than just the charismatic movement, the prophetic movement within the charismatic church today, the connective tissue here is this view of authority and prophecy and this idea of having prophets, capital P prophets today, or living oracles, maybe is what you would hear in a Mormon church. See, Mormons teach and Mormons believe, we just talked about this last week, we talked about their view on the Bible with an asterisk. They believe that the prophet speaks for God today, and he basically becomes untouchable as a result of that. That God still speaks through an individual today in this authoritative way. And so when the prophet speaks, we need to all listen. Now, I talked about that last week, how that's super dangerous. And this is where I think the warning needs to be heard by all Christians today, not just Christians who've come out of Mormonism, but every Christian listening to this. The modern prophetic movement in Pentecostalism has basically the exact same DNA. When a leader stands up and says, I have a fresh word from the Lord, and that word is used to bypass biblical commands or common sense accountability, then they've basically created this living oracle, and so many people are falling for this. When a leader stands up and claims that a vision kind of excuses their lack of character or justifies their financial greed or whatever else. Again, we're seeing this over and over and over. This is not a new thing. When that happens, we as followers of Jesus, and maybe as people who are influenced by these leaders, we've got some decisions to make. We're talking about spiritual discernment here when it comes to any kind of leader at all, but especially leaders who claim to hear from God. And this is what I want to end with here today. I want to give five red flag questions so that we can discern if a ministry, a prophetic circle, a church environment is drifting away from biblical transparency, and it's drifting toward a dangerous cover-up culture, because we're seeing it in every single generation. I think this is just how the enemy works. Remember, Satan, part of the power that Satan has, we just released an article a couple of weeks on this, what kind of power does the devil have? You know, the main kind of power that he has is deception. That's what he is. Jesus called him the father of lies. And so what that means is for every single one of us, whether you're a longtime follower of Jesus, a longtime Christian, whether you're someone who just came out of Mormonism and now you're starting to go to a good, solid evangelical church, like we all, or whether maybe you're still in Mormonism and you've been listening to these podcasts and you're dipping your toe in the water and you're really trying to wrap your mind around this, I think for all of us, we really have to be ready to answer these questions, because you could find yourself in a church. You could find yourself influenced by an author or an influencer or a podcaster who starts to stray into this dangerous territory where they're starting to take authority over God's word. And it is so easy to get sucked into that, and pretty soon to just blindly trust whoever you're listening to and trust that they would never lead you astray. And this is, I think, what's happening to so many people caught up in this prophetic movement today. And I think it could happen 10, 20 years from now to any one of us. So let's be sober-minded and let's consider these five red flag questions that I encourage you to even ask right now. Apply it to me. Apply it to this podcast right now. Apply it to the church that you attend right now, whether it's an evangelical church, charismatic evangelical church, whether it's a Mormon ward somewhere. Consider these five red flag questions. Number one, is the anointing used as a shield against accountability, right? Maybe you've got an anointed leader, a gifted leader in your church, whether that's a bishop or it's a quote-unquote prophet or apostle, whatever your church calls it, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a parent. The truth is that in toxic environments, leaders will cite verses like Psalm 105:15, do not touch my chosen people and do not hurt my prophets. And they'll quote things like that to silence critics. Well, that's a red flag. If asking for clarification on a failed prophecy or on a financial report or just any kind of accountability at all is labeled as sowing discord or attacking a man of God, then that culture is protecting a human pedestal, not protecting the congregation or not protecting the truth or the word of God itself. So there's a great biblical standard we have in Acts chapter 17. They were called the Bereans, and they were commended by Paul for testing even the Apostle Paul's words against Scripture. So the point is this, that no leader is above the Word of God. This is so important. This is why I don't believe in capital P prophets anymore. I think Jesus was the ultimate prophet. He was the last prophet. He was the final revelation of God. We don't need any other revelations of God. The canon of Scripture is closed, meaning there's no other verse, there's no other books of the Bible that will be added to that. We have what we need to live godly lives. We don't need any other, quote unquote, like new revelation. But Joseph Smith showed up and he brought new revelation and people fell for it. And so many of these, quote unquote, prophets in the charismatic movement today are doing the same thing. Just beware. Just beware. Don't allow that anointing to be a shield against accountability for those people. They should still answer to somebody. Number two, question number two, does the ministry prioritize brand management over victim care? I mean, this is something that I've noticed living in Utah over 25 years in the Mormon church. There's just this cover-up culture that's baked into Mormonism, and really as a result, there is so much abuse that happens in the Mormon church. I even think about, maybe you watched the recent Netflix special on Elizabeth Smart. It's so sad to think about Elizabeth Smart. You know, her abductor basically claimed to be a prophet of God, just like Joseph Smith. It's crazy to me to watch that story unfold and to watch these new specials that are coming out about Elizabeth Smart and to think about how are Mormons looking at this? You know, if Mormons understand the Gospel Topics essays, if they understand the story of their leader, the founder of their church, Joseph Smith, they would realize that he is essentially no different than the creep who abducted Elizabeth Smart, took her out of her home, and took her on as a wife. She was just a young girl at the time and sexually abused her for months before they were discovered. It's sickening to look at this. And this is simply just the result of a church, a movement that buys the prophetic gifting. They buy this. They've got room in their theology for this kind of nonsense. And so they turn the other cheek when people are being victimized. I can't even imagine what it was like for the father of that 14-year-old girl who was taken as a wife by Joseph Smith secretly, and Joseph Smith had his way with her. That's disgusting. That's pedophilia. And the Mormon church covered it up for over 100 years. Now, look, if you're a Mormon listening to this and that's offensive to you, just go check out the Gospel Topics essays, because I think maybe you're unwittingly a part of a cover-up culture. Maybe you have bought the lie like so many others before you have bought the lie. But this is the problem. If your church or ministry prioritizes the church or the institution or the brand or the prophet or the leader over the flock, then you've got a problem. And this is what I see in the modern, you know, prophetic movement in charismatic circles today. And it's so alarming. I can't believe that guys like Sean Bowles are out there and that they still have a ministry. It's crazy to me that they still have a ministry. But Mormonism was able to survive this for over 100 years. So I guess maybe it shouldn't be that crazy to me. There are always going to be people who believe it, who buy it, who are gaslit into trusting that this guy really is a man of God. And you know, these ministries today use NDAs, non-disclosure agreements. They use hush money to settle internal disputes. Mike Winger's been talking about it all the time. There are so many people who have signed these NDAs because, I don't know, they were like spiritually, religiously guilted into it because they didn't want to take down this ministry that was doing so much quote unquote good for the world. I mean, this is the same kind of BS that Mormon leadership has said over the years. And probably, to be honest, they've believed it. I think part of the way they're thinking is, look, if I expose Joseph Smith, I'm sure that in the late 1800s, there were prophets who really believed in the Book of Mormon and the Mormon message. And then they probably had the veil, you know, taken away a little bit on some of the truth about this. I'm sure that there are leaders in the Mormon church who knew about this kind of stuff, the truth about Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, long before the average member knew about it. And they probably had a hard decision to make. Like, look at the Mormon church and all the good that the Mormon church does. You know, I'm not going to blow the whistle on this. God is using this. It's okay now. We're not going to, like, why be that guy? And I'm sure that there was a lot of mental gymnastics that was happening for some of these leaders who weren't probably deceptive. They weren't, I mean, I'm just guessing here. I've thought about this a lot though. They weren't deceptive. They really believed in Mormonism. They really believed Joseph Smith was a prophet of God. Maybe when they became Mormons, they didn't realize all this stuff that now we know about that are in the Gospel Topics essays. And they, but as they got higher and higher up in the organization, they realized that this was true. But now at that point, again, they're kind of protecting the brand, the institution, more than they're protecting the individuals who are unwittingly a part of a church that practices cover-up culture. I think that's what's happened. I mean, that's my most charitable way to say it. I think that's what happened, what has happened over the years in Mormonism. And by the way, it's not just Mormonism and the charismatic movement. I mean, this has been happening in the Catholic Church for centuries, maybe even for millennia. The Catholic Church also, and we've seen it recently as it's come out in the last 20 or 30 years, all the abuse that happens in Catholicism. And to me, it's not that surprising because Catholicism has added some of these other rules and laws to the Bible that were never there in the first place, like the idea that priests and monks shouldn't be married. I mean, this is, you don't find this in the Bible. And so you practice this in a church, in an institution for hundreds and even thousands of years. And so you're putting these celibate men together with boys. It's no wonder that the enemy uses something like that. And we have this abuse and these scandals that have recently come to light. And so again, I think in Catholicism, some of the same stuff has happened where, you know, victims are shamed into thinking, look, if you say anything, then it's going to ruin our church and people are going to turn away from God. And so there's this victim shaming. Maybe it's not official NDAs, but it's victim shaming so that, again, the brand is prioritized over the victims. And I think that is a major red flag. And it's happened in Catholicism and in Mormonism. And now, once again, it's resurfacing and it's happening in charismatic movements. Number three, third question to ask, just to make sure you're not a part of a culture that can become a cover-up culture. Here's the third question. Is there a plurality of elders with actual power? Not just one guy with all the power. See, look, in both the modern prophetic movement and in early Mormonism, and even in Catholicism, where they have a pope, like this one guy who speaks for God, power is concentrated in a single oracle, one person who hears from God for everyone else. And this is a red flag. I'll say in my church, I'm the senior pastor at my church. I planted the church 25 years ago, Alpine Church in Northern Utah. I have a governing board who literally have the authority to fire me. You know, I meet with them every month. They have a responsibility in my life. They pray for me. They help me to make decisions and they help the executive. We also have an executive team of pastors. So we have these checks and balances in our organization that, to be honest, we didn't really clearly have when we started the church. And as our church has grown and we've had, you know, we've added more campuses, we have more influence, we realized, man, any leader can get too big for his britches. And so we said, let's really prayerfully consider how we should structure and organize. We did a reorg 5 or 6 years ago. How do we structure and reorganize this so that we can be as godly as we possibly can be moving into the future? And so I think especially for those of you who are Mormons who have come out of Mormonism and you're looking for a good godly church, I just really encourage you to pay attention. Is there just a little bit too much influence and authority in the hands of one person? If there is, I think you should just really look into the plurality of elders. Like, what do they have in place to make sure that 5 or 10 years down the road, you don't end up in this place that the some of these charismatic churches are in, or that the, you know, the obviously the Mormon church is in. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. So make sure that you're not a part of a church that's just all about the cult of personality. Now, that doesn't mean that your teacher should be boring. Hopefully the whoever's teaching at your church, there's energy and there's a gifting for preaching, but just make sure that people aren't, everybody's not just elevating this one guy or a handful of guys and they're the untouchables in the church. Make sure that there's true accountability in the church that you are worshiping at. All right, question number four, and this is a little bit more specific to churches like Catholicism or Mormonism or some of these Pentecostal churches where they do have an emphasis on the prophetic. Question number four is this: how are failed prophecies handled? Because this is the crazy thing in the modern day prophetic movement. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of these YouTube prophets, you know, they're Christians, quote unquote Christians, and they put these prophecies out back in 2020 about Donald Trump winning the election. They had all these prophecies, all these people were sharing all these videos and podcasts and getting all whipped up about these prophecies. And then the prophecy doesn't come true. And you know what a lot of these prophets did? They deleted those prophecies. They deleted those, literally deleted the YouTube videos that had all these views. They made them unlisted because they didn't want to be outed. Because the Bible says that if someone claims to be a prophet of God and then his prophecy doesn't come true, well, the Bible's pretty clear about that, then he's not a prophet of God. And so this is happening in the modern day movement, but it happened. I mean, just look into it. We've done some episodes on this podcast. It happened in Mormonism. Joseph Smith made all these prophecies that didn't come true, and people didn't call him out. He somehow explained away his failed prophecy, just like people have been doing today, modern prophets today in the charismatic movement. They explain it away, and then these sheep, these followers of the prophetic movement, they just buy it. They're gullible and they're vulnerable to these lies. So make sure that you handle failed prophecies in a biblical way. And the rule is like super simple. The person who claims to be speaking for God, if he prophesies something that doesn't come true, then he should say, I was wrong. That was not from God. And really, to be honest, this is why I think just the whole idea of the prophetic movement is so dangerous, is because I think it just gets the focus on the wrong stuff. Now, that's not to say that God can't still speak through a prophet in that way today, but he's not going to speak something new or authoritative through a prophet today. And that's really the last thing, the last question you need to ask. Is the new revelation, the supposed new revelation from God, contradicting the old word, the old revelation? And to me, this is the ultimate link between Mormonism and the unhinged prophetic circles. That's the idea that God is constantly giving new truths that override the Bible. This is what Joseph Smith did, and this is actually still to this day what the Mormon church does. They override the Bible, the old prophecy, the revealed prophecy. They override it with their new prophecy, with their new teachings, with their new scriptures, and it's a problem. And friends, I want you to hear this. The modern, quote-unquote, prophetic movement is doing some of the same stuff. And maybe the reason I'm so tuned into it is because I do ministry in Utah. So I really want the Christian listeners to pay attention to this. Go to the Word. Read your Bibles. Learn the Word. Don't look for new revelation in these people. Don't look for the shiny new object. God's word can be trusted, and these modern day prophets cannot be trusted. It leads to cover up culture, whether you're talking about the Mormon church or the Christian church, and it takes away from the simple message of the Bible and the person that the Bible points to. It doesn't point to a prophet or an influencer or a celebrity. The person that the Bible, the story of the Bible points to, and our churches should point to, and our lives should point to, that person is Jesus Christ himself. So don't let a cover-up culture destroy your faith in the real Jesus. He has no secrets. He has nothing to hide. Now, if you want more on this topic, check out the article we just released on PursueGod.org. It's titled, What is Cover-Up Culture in Prophetic Circles Today? Give it a read, share it with some friends, and keep reading your Bibles as you pursue God.